Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, my computer is frozen, so I need a book. All right. Okay. All right, so I'm going to need help. Advaita Chandra, can you sit in front? Here, take. I can't. Can you sit in front of the microphone? Advaita Chandra, take this. It's of no use to me. Sit in front of the microphone, and you conduct the class, and I will comment as we go along. Can you do like I do?
I'll try, Guruji.
All right.
Not as you do, but I'll try. Second best.
Prabhupada used to do this. He would have Prajumna do the Sanskrit and everything, and then Prabhupada would comment. So it's authorized. Okay, Advaita Chandra, lead us.
Text number 18. Let's chant the slok together.
No, they should repeat after
me. Repeat after me, okay. Jnanam geham parigyata. Trivata karma chodana. Karnam karam kartite. Trivida karma karma sangraha. Word by word. Jnanam, knowledge. Jnanam, the objective of knowledge. Parijnata, the knower. Trivida, of three kinds. Karma, of work. Kodana, the impetus. Karanam, the senses. Karma, the work. Karta, the doer. Iti, thus. Trivida, of three kinds. Karma, of work. Sangraha, the accumulation. Translation. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. Purport.
Yes.
There are three kinds of impetus for daily work: knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. The instruments of work, the work itself, and the worker are called the constituents of work. Any work done by any human being thus has three elements. Before one acts, there is some impetus, which is called inspiration. Any solution arrived at work is actualized, is a subtle form of work. Then work takes the form of action. First, one has to undergo the psychological process of thinking, feeling, and willing. And that is called the impetus. The inspiration to work is the same if it comes from the scripture or from the instruction of the spiritual master. When the inspiration is there and the worker is there, then actual activity takes place by the help of the senses, including the mind, which is the center of all the senses. The sum total of all the constituents of an activity are called the accumulation of work.
Does that end the purport?
That's the end of the purport.
Okay, so this reminds me of a very important statement by Lord Chaitanya. In the final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the subject matter is the Shikshastakam prayers. And Lord Chaitanya is giving the purport of his own Shikshastakam prayers in that final chapter. So one that always makes an impression upon me and I don't forget. Lord Chaitanya is saying that when you nicely chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, all kinds of devotional service is awakened from nicely chanting. And I have much experience from this. And I was preaching this quite extensively in Santiago the last 2 weeks. That everything comes from nicely chanting japa. That if you nicely chant every day, you will get all kinds of inspiration from Krishna in the heart. So my advice to all of you, the most important thing that you do every day is when you take time out to nicely chant on your beads. Because everything is going to come from how nicely you do that. And chanting is very simple. You vibrate the sound and you simply listen. You pay attention. And the offense, which can be considered the mother of all the other offenses, is inattentive chanting. So it's a yoga. It is a struggle. Because you know from Bhagavad Gita, the mind is what? Chanchalam. What else?
It's your friend and it could be your enemy.
Could be your friend. But when Arjuna is rejecting the yoga system, he says what? The mind is
very difficult.
Obstinate, very strong, and to subdue it to me is like trying to control the wind. But what did Krishna say? What does that mean? What was Krishna's response?
By practice and renunciation.
So did he agree with Arjuna?
No.
Yes. Who said yes? Who? Someone back there said yes. Shoban? Very good. Krishna agreed with him that the mind is difficult. But it is possible by what?
By practice
and detachment. Very good. Excellent. All right, you're doing such a good job, Advaita Chandra. Continue.
Section number 19. Jnanam karma cha karta cha. Trideva guna vedita, prochute guna sankhyane, yatha vachurnu tanyapi. Word by word. Jnanam, knowledge, karma, work, cha, also, karta, worker, cha, also, Tridha, of three kinds. Eva, certainly. Guna bhedata, in terms of different modes of material nature. Prochotate, are said. Guna sankhyane, in terms of different modes. Yathavat, as they are. Shrunu, hear. Tani, all of them. Api, also. Translation. According to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge. Action and performer of action. Now hear of them from me.
So before we go to the purport, as you can see, as was the case in chapter 14 and chapter 17, Krishna is continuing to explain to us how the three modes of nature, practically speaking, determine everything. You cannot escape the three modes of nature. And this concept of the three modes of nature is very, very significant, powerful, and you don't hear it anyplace else, but in these Vedic scriptures, this concept of the three modes of nature, this is something that is reiterated. And we're seeing in Bhagavad Gita, time and time again, three modes of nature. So, which of the modes should be thoroughly rejected? Which one? Ignorance. Which one should you be indifferent to? Passion. Which one should you cultivate?
Goodness.
Until what time should you cultivate the mode of goodness? Up to what time? What is Shuddha Sattva? Yes, when you become transcendental. So practically speaking, you're going to stay in the mode of goodness throughout your life. Practically speaking. Because it's going to take you a lifetime to become thoroughly transcendental. It's not going to happen overnight. So therefore we should know what are the symptoms of the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, so that at every moment I can determine, wait a second, I'm beginning to act in the mode of ignorance here. I'm not acting in the mode of goodness. That's why our friend Kamlesh always preaches knowledge, 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 knowledge. But more important of knowledge is implementing the knowledge. Practice. Is Govind here?
Vijnanam.
Yes, implementing the knowledge gives you vijnanam or realization. Now you may read the purport, please.
In the 14th chapter, the three divisions of the modes of material nature were elaborately described. In that chapter, it was said that the modes of goodness is illuminating, the mode of passion, materialistic, and the mode of ignorance, conducive to laziness and indolence. All the modes of material nature are binding. They are not sources of liberation. Even in the mode of goodness, one is conditioned. In the 17th chapter, the different types of worship by different types of men in different modes of material nature were described. In this verse, the Lord says that He wishes to speak about the different types of knowledge, workers, and work itself according to the three material modes.
Very good. Now, notice it said all of the modes of nature are binding. So, what activity will liberate you? What activity will liberate you? Who said that? Is that Dr. Garmalkar?
Yeah.
Who can show me a verse in chapter 14 to substantiate what Sri Vallabha said? I pointed it out a trillion times. What verse in... Did you find it?
Very important verse.
Excellent. Because Arjuna's question in chapter 14, four verses before this, how do I transcend the modes? And that was the most important of all the questions he asked. How do I transcend? So let's don't lose your spot. But let's go to 14:26 because it is one of the most important verses of Bhagavad Gita. Because we just read, Kush, this is not time to have a conversation with Rohan. It's time to pay attention to the book, Rohan. Not, it's not just Kush, okay? It takes two to tango, okay? Let's look at 14, and don't gloat either. Let's look at 14:26. Everybody, the Sanskrit?
Macha vyacharne bhakti yogena sevate sa gunana samathayatva brahma bhute kalpate.
Good, very good. Brahma bhuyaya kalpate. That means you have transcended. You have regained your equal status with God. Does God ever become conditioned?
Nope.
Very good. I like someone said no very emphatically. If you think that God becomes conditioned, what are you called? Muda? Mayavadi Pashandi. Yes. If you think that God becomes conditioned, and when would somebody think that God becomes conditioned? When would they think that? Huh? No, I said when. He's hit the nail on the head. When the avatar comes, what happens sometimes? Batuk was the one who got the question.
He acts like that in Lord Rama's time. He's looking for his wife.
Oh, look at Ram. He's lamenting about his wife. But with Krishna, you could go even further. You could give so many. See, your Krishna is doing this. Your Krishna is doing that. He's an ordinary human being. See, he's not God. Yes. He stole the clothes of the gopis. He appeared as a little baby. He's just an ordinary. Yes. God never becomes conditioned, even when he comes to this material world. And that was one of the things Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit after the Rasa Leela section. Because Parikshit had some doubts that people are going to misunderstand. So Shukadeva said, wait a second. No, there was no inebriety, no material contamination in Krishna when he danced the Rasa dance. One of the best examples was Krishna was already in the hearts of the gopis. Instead of remaining in the heart, he came outside. Krishna is already the husband of everyone. So what is the fault in Krishna? He was already inside. He just decided to come out. And he gave other reasons. How Krishna, there's no material contamination in the Rasa dance. But this Bhagavad Gita 14:26. So what kind of devotional service do you need to do to transcend the modes of nature? No, what? No, that's not what the verse says. No, what does the verse say? Look at the verse. That's why I said read the book.
Unfailing in all circumstances.
That kind of devotional service. Don't give me your speculations. Read the book. That's how you answer questions. That's how a lawyer cannot say, well, I watched on the TV Law and Order. No. The lawyer has to quote from the book. That's why I told you, look at the book. That's the answer. What kind of devotional service?
Unfailing in all circumstances.
Unfailing in all circumstances. 24/7, 365, 108. Yes? Ahoitiki apratiyata. Yes. Yes. If I was asking this question, Bhagavatam, that would be the appropriate answer. But we're speaking in Bhagavad Gita terms.
Right now.
You got to stay where you are. You can't. Well, it says, no. The question was asked. Right. Just like those who have taken my Brahmin test. I made it very clear to those people. The questions might be wrong or right somewhere else, but you have to know according to the five books that the questions are based on. Right? And I emphasize that to the students. The question is based on not whether it's true somewhere else. According to these five prefaces and introductions, what is the answer true or false? Very good. Shall we do one more verse?
Yes.
I think that, Vaita Chandra, we should do this more often. I like how you're doing this. We did the purport.
We did the purport.
Yeah, 1820. Go ahead. Right.
Sarvabhuteshu yenakam.
Sarvabhuteshu nenaikam.
Bhavam avyayam ikshate.
Bhavam avyayam ikshate.
Avibhaktam bhakteshu.
Avibhaktam vibhakteshu.
Tejjnanam vidhi sattvikam.
Tajjnanam vidhi sattvikam.
Word by word. Sarvabhuteshu.
Sarvabhuteshu.
In all living entities.
In all living entities.
Yena. By which.
By which.
Ekam.
Ekam.
One.
One.
Bhavam.
Bhavam.
Situation.
Situation.
Avyayam.
Avyayam.
Imperishable.
Imperishable.
Ikshate.
Ikshate.
One sees.
One sees.
Avibhavitam.
Avibhaktam.
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 Undivided.
Undivided.
Vibhavakshutu.
Vibhakteshu.
Vibhakteshu. In the numberless divided.
In the numberless divided.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Vidhi.
Vidhi.
Know.
Know.
Sattvikam.
Sattvikam.
In the mode of goodness.
In the mode of goodness.
Translation. That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities.
By which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities.
Though they are divided into innumerable forms.
Though they are divided into innumerable forms.
They should understand to be in the mode of goodness.
You should understand to be in the mode of goodness. So, is there different kinds of souls? One kind. Spirit soul. There's jiva tattva. There's not different kinds of jiva tattva or different kinds. There's only one kind, spirit soul. They're all made of the same constitution. Namely, what is the constitution of the soul?
The part and parcel of the Supreme Personality.
The constitution?
Sachidananda.
Eternal. For blissful and knowledge. That's the constitution of the soul. What? Somebody has something to say? I can't hear. God also has the same thing. Yes. But he's the other kind of soul. The super or supreme soul. So yes, there are two kinds of soul. Paramatma.
Atma.
Jivatma. All right. Question, can the Jivatma become Paramatma?
No.
If somebody was to say yes, what philosophy is that? Because that's the essence of Shankaracharya's philosophy. You're Jivatma now because you forgot that you were Paramatma. Now you do yoga and meditation, you'll become
Paramatma.
So if you ever hear that, you can know, ding, 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 ding. Mayavad philosophy. And that Mayavad philosophy permeates all kinds of religions. All kinds. It's lurking in there. So many religions in the world isn't just like this week I had a problem with my computer. And I had to find out because there was something deep in infecting. So this Mayavad philosophy has infected all the religions of the world. It's like a computer virus, Trojan. And to undo it, you need the expert who can go in there. See, there it is. And you have to get it out. Then your computer runs. So similarly, all the religions, they have this infected, impersonalist Mayavad philosophy. Except for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada is very heavy on this. Opening statement of Bhagavatam. That all kinds of cheating religion is what? Ooh! Dharma Projita. Bhagavatam is telling you right away. Warning. Right? Sometimes you buy something and there's this skull and bones. Warning. Or some video games. There's a warning. So in the same way, Bhagavatam has a disclaimer right from the beginning. Cheating religion, materialistic religion, kicked out. Projita. Completely rejected. Okay, read the purport, please.
A person who sees one spirit soul in every living being, whether a demigod, a human being, an animal, bird, beast, aquatic, or plant, possesses knowledge in the mode of goodness.
So, do you all agree that in all these living entities there's a spirit soul?
Yes.
Good.
In all living entities, one spirit soul is there, although they have different bodies in terms of their previous work.
Where did you read this previously in Bhagavad Gita? I know of a verse.
Chapter 5.
Ah, chapter 5, what verse?
17.
Not 17. I think it's 18. I think it's, go look it up, 518. First we're going to find the number. You said 17, you said 19, I say 18. Let's see who knows Bhagavad Gita. Let's see if the professor is... What is it?
18.
Aha!
18.
Professor was right. You forget that when you sit here, you get a little empowerment from Krishna. I have the advantage. Okay?
We agree.
Okay, well, I'm just saying it. That's... You get some empowerment. Let's look at the Sanskrit. Let's do it together nicely. Translation?
The humble sages, by the virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater.
So that equal vision is here. So this verse ties in with this verse. This is the equal vision. That within all these bodies, there's spirit soul. Let's continue with the purport that we're studying at present.
In all living entities, one spirit soul is there, although they have different bodies in terms of their previous work.
Ah, so now you know why you have that body. You have nobody to blame but yourself. You created that body. How? According to what you just read, how did you create your present body?
Your previous work.
Your previous work. Go on.
As described in the 7th chapter, the manifestation of the living force in every body is due to the superior nature of the Supreme Lord.
7-6. No,
six.
Wait, no. 7-5. 7-5. Aparayamitastvanyang prak. 7-5. Because 7-4 was Bhumir Apanalovayu. Good. Continue.
Thus, to see that one superior nature, that living force in every body, to see in the mode of goodness. That living energy is imperishable, although the bodies are perishable.
What chapter did you learn that? Chapter 2. That's exactly what you learned in chapter 2. Continue.
Differences are perceived in terms of the body because there are many forms of material existence in conditioned life. The living force appears to be divided.
Yeah, in other words, the living force appears... Yes. To be divided. That's how I would say. It appears to be. Go on.
Such impersonal knowledge is an aspect of self-realization.
Okay, very good. Not only good, you got an Indian birth, so you were very good. But don't get puffed up. Because you may not be Indian next time. You may not be Cindy. You may... Never get puffed up. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Tena tarodi vasahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya. All right, would someone like to collect the books? Let's give a nice hari bowl to Ved Advaita Chandra. Nice service. Very nice. Very good. Very good.